Good morning, Symphony Church. I hope you had a good and restful weekend. Our church, our college ministry at least, we just got back from our college retreat together for the kingdom. And we just want to continue in the devotion to the Lord. And we want to do that by reading through his word. And so today, we're continuing in the book of Judges. And we'll be reading from Judges chapter 8, verses 22 to 35. And I'll read that for us. Then the men of Israel said to Gideon, "Rule over us, you and your son and your grandson also, for you have saved us from the hand of Midian." Gideon said to them, "I will not rule over you, and my son will not rule over you. The Lord will rule over you." And Gideon said to them, "Let me make a request of you. Every one of you give me the earrings from his spoil." For they had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites. And they answered, "We will willingly give them." And they spread a cloak, and every man threw in it the earrings of his spoil. And the weight of the golden earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, besides the crescent ornaments and the pendants and the purple garments worn by the kings of Midian, and besides the collars that were around the necks of their camels. And Gideon made an ephod of it and put it in his city in Ophrah. And all Israel whored after it there, and it became a snare to Gideon and to his family. So Midian was subdued before the people of Israel, and they raised their heads no more. And the land had rested 40 years in the days of Gideon. Jerubbaal, the son of Joash, went and lived in his own house. Now Gideon had 70 sons, his own offspring, for he had many wives. And his concubine, who was in Shechem, also bore him a son, and he called his name Abimelech. And Gideon, the son of Joash, died in a good old age and was buried in the tomb of Joash his father, at Ophrah of the Abiezrites. As soon as Gideon died, the people of Israel turned again and whored after the Baals, and made Baal-berith their god. And the people of Israel did not remember the Lord their God, who had delivered them from the hand of all their enemies on every side. And they did not show steadfast love to the family of Jerubbaal, that is, Gideon, in return for all the good that he had done to Israel. So today's passage marks the conclusion of the story of Gideon. And if you've been following along with us, you know that Gideon's story, it started well. He had humble beginnings. God met him where he was and ministered to him in his fear. He rose and carried out God's will with increasing faith, and Gideon eventually goes on to defeat the Midianites in this outstanding victory for the Lord. But Gideon's story doesn't end as well as it started. He falls into fits of anger and vengefulness, and ultimately the last thing we're told about Gideon is that he melts down all the gold of the Israelites to make an ephod, and that ephod ends up being a snare to him, to his family, and to all of Israel. And when you read this, it all just doesn't really make sense, right? Here is Gideon, judge of Israel. He just came back from being led so surely by the Lord God to this impossible victory, and still he so easily ends up turning away from God and being fixed on this idol made by his own hands. So what happened? How did Gideon go from being a mighty warrior of God that trusted him and gave him glory to being a petty murderer and an idol worshiper? Well, if you think about it, Gideon's downfall, it didn't happen at the most difficult part of his life. It didn't happen when Gideon came face to face with the Midianites, with their armies far outnumbering his armies, and with Israel being only armed with some trumpets and some pottery. And in fact, at that time, Gideon showed tremendous bravery and trust in the Lord. His faith was tested and he rose to the occasion. No, Gideon's downfall happened after the battle, after the mountaintop experience, when he came back to the peaceful everyday life. When he was supposed to enjoy the fruit of his faith and reap the reward of his campaign, when he faced the praise and the honor of the Israelites that now saw him as their ruler, Gideon failed. And although Gideon might not have realized it, his faith was also being tested in these moments. But unfortunately, he wasn't prepared like he was when God called him to lead armies. We might assume that the most important battles in our walk happen in these large, momentous occasions where we have this crisis of faith and we feel ourselves working through the trial. And these moments are important. But because we have this idea of what working through our faith looks like, we often underemphasize the importance of our everyday battles, don't we? Just like Gideon let his guard down once the big battle was over, and he went back home and there was no army to shake him, I think we're prone to living the majority of our faith with our guard down. We know that we're called to live a righteous, God-honoring life, and we know that this world holds so many temptations and so many things that compete for our attention, but we don't feel this urgency to cling to God. We might say, oh, I'll just read my Bible tomorrow when I have more time, when in actuality, we need it to hear from God and to be renewed every day. We might say, work is just really important right now. I can always give God my attention a little bit more later. And we don't realize that we're giving up more and more of our heart every time. You know, we might say, just this once when no one's watching, and we sin and we give the enemy a foothold. If we're not careful, we forget the importance of the battle that we're fighting every day. And we forget God's provision, and we get desensitized to the nudges and the warnings from the Holy Spirit as we go through our day. And although this drifting away might be slow and subtle, eventually we realize that we've let these areas of darkness grow in our heart to grotesque degrees. And just like Gideon, we end up being pulled to worship all these glamorous and enticing things that aren't God. You know, we know how important it is to live for the Lord, and we know how amazing and how joyful it can be when we're really locked into living for Him, and yet there's this disconnect. And I hope that, you know, as we hear from the Lord, as we read through this story of Gideon, that we're actually reminded to not fall into the same trap, that we're reminded that there is a life that God calls us to lead that is full of peace and joy. All we have to do is safeguard that. All we have to do is stay to it. You know, I mentioned that this past weekend we had our college retreat, TFTK, and one of Pastor Sam's biggest exhortations was to diligently fight and pray through the spiritual battles that are happening in our minds. And today, I hope our passage serves as a reminder to do just that. You know, let the story of Gideon serve to tell us to not grow complacent and let down our guard. And let's spend time remembering the mountaintop victories that God has brought us through. And let's allow those reflections to fuel our fight. Let's refresh our commitment to walking in the Spirit and aggressively turn away from anything that doesn't bring us closer to Jesus. You know, it may not feel like the biggest fight, but every day, let's spend some time to fight against the spiritual battle that's happening in our minds. Let's go to Him in prayer. Lord, I just pray that You protect us today. I pray that, Lord, even if today is just an everyday kind of life where we just are kind of doing what we do, where we just go to work, we spend time with friends, where we figure out some stuff, where we go to You with our devotion. I pray that You continue to protect us and to guide us and to fight for us. Lord, there are things that we cannot see that are always pulling at our attention and pulling at our devotion. And I pray that instead of giving all those things our praise and our honor, that we could give it to You. Lord, that we can just stay focused on You and that we not fall into these pitfalls. So Lord, would You continue to protect us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.